8:22, the Illinois Department of Public Health Director, Dr. Ngozi Ezike. Doctor, it's good to speak with you again. How have you been, ma'am?
Always a pleasure to be with you. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, hanging in there. All right. So I'm going to throw one of my problems at you and see what you have to say about it, okay?
Go for it.
All right. I do the COVID numbers. I always look. Even if we don't report them here in the morning, I'll tell you about a poll I did and if we get a chance later on. But even if I don't, I've got them in my hand because I always, I've kind of been tuned over the last year. So I say, look, Williamson County yesterday reporting 15 new positive, Franklin 6 new. On Friday, they reported 16 in Williamson County and 11 in Franklin County. And when I look at that number, I want to know what percentage is the Delta variant. And I don't know the answer to that question, and I want to.
No, these are important questions to ask. I mean, we don't want anyone catching any variant of COVID, but we know that the Delta variant is really surging as well. So I think I'm looking at the numbers, not specifically at each of the 102 counties, but we are seeing that the Delta variant is surging. Once upon a time, it was 1%. A couple of weeks ago, it was only 9%. Now it's almost a quarter of the samples that we do the genomic sequencing are coming out as Delta. And we know how this story goes, just like it did with the B117. It will continue to grow, maybe to be the most predominant one because it's so much more infectious, so much more transmissible. So it's 25% now. We expect that number to just grow until maybe it's the predominant variant that we have throughout the state.
All right, let's talk about this since you brought this up, and I'm curious, what is the difference between COVID-19, the one that many people were familiar with? What's the difference between good old COVID-19 as opposed to the Delta variant? What's the difference?
No, that's a great question. So we've gone through many iterations. Viruses do this. Viruses change. They mutate. They're trying to ensure their own survival. So when people get savvy at knowing maybe how to treat it or try to have a vaccine that will control it, then it wants to try to mutate to find a way to continue to live on. And so it looks for people who are not vaccinated, and then it, you know, as it's spinning, replicating, dividing over and over and over, it has a chance to mutate into something that maybe will give it some advantage. So from what we saw, the virus that caused COVID-19, we've had multiple iterations. The most talked about ones were the ones that originated out of the UK, out of Brazil. Now we're talking about the Delta variant. There's another one coming out of South America, out of the Peru area. So we keep seeing these. The issue is that the more transmissible it is, and we are seeing that this Delta variant is more transmissible than the original, it's more transmissible than the B117. So that just means it has the opportunity to attack more people at the same time. Maybe you just need a smaller dose of it from someone who's infected for you to now be infected. Sometimes you could have been around somebody who was, you know, infected with the virus, and you were around them, but you didn't catch it. This Delta variant is much more efficient. So if you're around it, you have a much higher chance that you will actually contract the infection.
When it comes to downstate Illinois, there are four counties now that we're, we'll say, on the warning track, for lack of a better term.
Yes, there are many counties that are seeing these high increases in the number of people testing positive. But more importantly, we're seeing more people going into the hospital. And so that's really concerning that they're getting sick people going into the hospital, filling up the beds. And so we have to do what we can to reverse the trend. And I think the most important thing that I can share is that when we look at what's happening in the Metro East and Southern Illinois, 100% of the deaths that are COVID deaths, they have been in people who were not fully vaccinated. You get that? Like, it is, if you are vaccinated, forget about whether it's the Delta variant, the A, the B, the C, the D, the E. If you were vaccinated, you would not be one of the people that died from this virus. So that is our best path forward, You know, we have something that does control the variant that we're dealing with. So let's take advantage of that.
Now, the doctor pointed out something of dying, all right? Because during our last conversation, the doctor was very clear, nothing is 100%. You can get it, you just won't be as sick. I think that single point have eluded people that we do not live in a world of absolutes.
That's absolutely correct. There is nothing that is 100%. But I will take 90%, 95% over 0% every day of the week.
Right. I was looking at the counties. I was supplied this information last night. We're speaking with the Illinois Department of Public Health Director, Dr. Ngozi Ezike. I was supplied with these figures from Region 5 last night. The four counties in question here in southern Illinois, Wayne County with a 9.8% positivity rating, Wabash 17.2% positivity rating, Jefferson County 8, and Edwards County 33.3%. Then you've got other counties that are very low statistically when it comes to being vaccinated. Alexander County is one of those at 14.75, the lowest. I mean, like 660 people out of 8,000 people that live in the county or something like that. When I look at these numbers, these are the ones that are kind of sticking out. And then I got a press release from the Jackson County Health Department on Thursday afternoon, spoke with the director immediately after I got this because he and I both look at another number that's not always shown. As of July 15th, Jackson County, 97 active cases, whereas they had been down to 4 active cases in Jackson County in June and then to 97. That's a big jump because that's bigger than the number that we had through much of the spring and late winter.
Absolutely. We are seeing the turnaround be very abrupt and then the rise after that turnaround from downward trends to upward trends go really, really fast. And that is a tribute to the fact that this variant is so much more efficient in infecting people. And so, again, we just have to be clear that we have a couple of things that we can do. Our best, most effective strategy is to vaccinate. It is not too late. The vaccine is readily available. We are so blessed in this state, in this country, to have vaccine readily available for anyone who wants it, while much of the world is begging to have this opportunity. If people are still on the fence and for some reason are not ready to vaccinate, despite the fact that this is the best protection, then at least get tested. If you know you've been in crowds, if you have been maskless in crowded settings, riskier settings, get tested because you still have a chance to have a better outcome if you identify the infection early, and then ask your doctor or healthcare provider for the monoclonal antibody. There is still a therapeutic that can be given. It's an IV infusion that can also prevent hospitalization and death for selected, you know, high-risk patients. So don't forget about the monoclonal antibody, but we have to know if you're positive before you can get that. So don't abandon testing. If you're not getting vaccinated, at least get tested so we can know early and try to intervene on that level.
It's interesting. I received a phone call yesterday afternoon from a friend of mine. Says, I just got a phone call from my son's principal. He'd been doing some extra work with a teacher over the summer to try to get him prepared for going back to work. And he says, the principal says, the teacher and another schoolmate were exposed our son to Delta variant COVID. I said, how do they find out so fast? He says, I don't know. The principal said that it was Delta. And so I reached out to Region 5 Director Aaron Herman yesterday and asked him, how can you confirm Delta variant Southern Illinois case COVID-19? He sent me a note. He says, if you can get it to the state lab by SIU for confirmation, it should not take more than a couple of days. When it comes to DNA sequencing, that's a pretty good turnaround.
No, again, we're fortunate to have this technology. I don't want people to focus so much on what variant. The point is, you don't really want any variant of COVID. You really want to prevent the infection in the first place. We saw plenty of death and disease and hospitalization with previous variants as well. So the goal is to not get infected. The goal is to get identified quickly to seek treatment and wear your mask in high-risk settings. So, again, I know that, you know, with Missouri just on fire with the Delta variant, we are going to see lots of cases. We're already seeing it. But whatever the variant is, it's not anything we want. We don't want to continue with the long-haul COVID that many people who don't even end up in the hospital end up with, debilitating illness that they're now unable to work, applying to get disability benefits because of the chronic aches and pains, the absent-mindedness, the memory loss, the what we call COVID dementia now. So for so many reasons, this is not any, none of these variants are anything that we want to fool with if we can, if we have a chance to avoid it.
All right, so we look at the big broad numbers, and I can't help but think as I look at the date and realize we're about a month away from going back to school, that that is a big deal. And I would wonder at this point, if we see these numbers continue on with this track, how will Illinois define and redefine its response in these counties? Because clearly after hearing some of the reports over the weekend, you know, we're not going to lock down again. I mean, that's what the governor's talking about. What do you think our response, if the numbers continue to grow, should be?
Well, we want a safe environment for our students and our teachers and all of our school staff. And so that's why we've been working with the health departments and working with the State Board of Education to make sure that everyone understands that CDC guidance that came out about 10 days ago. You know, depending on what's going on in your area of the state, you know, we have to have a combination of masking and distancing and, of course, testing. And so in areas that are on fire, you know, they probably need all three. In areas that have been more highly vaccinated, that is a protection for the kids. If the community is forming that circle, that cocoon of protection by having so many vaccinated adults, that portends well for the kids. But when that's not the case, then it's going to be hard to keep that school environment COVID-free when many teachers are susceptible. And in cases where the kids are largely under 12, all of the kids are susceptible. So again, we're going to be working on clarifying the CDC guidance after we have talked extensively with the CDC about how to move forward, especially in areas of increasing transmission. And then when we get things under control, hopefully more people vaccinated, then we can see, you know, which kinds of things we can let up on. But we're going to have to do everything we can to protect our children and our teachers and all of our school staff as we start the year in, like you said, just a couple of weeks.
Right. I kind of was curious about something. There's got to be a number out there. Percentage vaccinated, and you called it a cocoon, and I thought that was really accurate because if you have enough people vaccinated in a group, it will break the spread. Although it looks like whenever I try to figure it out on my own, the number looks to be around 40%. That once you get above 40%, you see a better, more effective impact on spread, community spread. And below 35, 32, it's a different story. I mean, do you have a number?
Yeah, I would push it higher. And it depends if 40% of who, you know?
40% of the, you know, so yeah, 40% of who is a good question. If you're 40% of the people in the nursing home, no. But if 40% of the general public is walking about, I mean, there's a lot of fine-tuning there.
Yeah, we're almost at, you know, statewide, we're almost at 50%. But we know that 50% that we're seeing statewide, like you said, drops to much lower in the 20s, you know, and less in many parts, you know, of downstate Illinois. And so, yes, we want to push for the eligible people, as many of those people, to get vaccinated to provide that shelter for those who can't or even those who got vaccinated and maybe it didn't take, unbeknownst to them. So just vaccinate. What are the top three things that we can do?
Right.
Turn those vaccines into vaccinations. And we have seen a direct correlation between the areas that are spiking and the lower rates of vaccination. It's a clear inverse relationship.
Yes, been watching it too, by county. Here's a question just came in on the America Monument text line this morning. It says, I'm considering getting the vaccine, but I do not wish to see my name or personal information entered in a database for this. Is this possible? I know that my VA clinic saves this information. Of course, I think that's an oblique reference to the lottery in its own way. But, you know, here you have somebody. I want it, but I don't want my name on some kind of list. What do you think, doctor?
Yeah, no, first of all, congratulations on making the decision to say that maybe this vaccine is the right move. I absolutely support your decision, and I understand your need for privacy. I want you to know that nothing in our state database in terms of the name and age and addresses gets transmitted, you know, beyond the state, you know, and if it's that, you know, you don't want to be included in the database for those who might win a part of the $10 million in prizes, you absolutely have that right to not take any of that prize money. If you don't want your information in our state, you know, maybe you go across the border and get it somewhere else. Then it won't be here in Illinois. You can have it in someone else's state. But I just want you to get that vaccine, and I'm so glad you're moving in that direction. It's absolutely one of the best things you can do to keep yourself and your community safe.
It was interesting. I got a text message on the text line last week and said, well, nobody from downstate ever wins the lottery. It's always Northern Illinois. I said, 27%. And they went, oh, yeah, makes sense. Because that was the current number for our vaccination rate. And like what you have to look at is a percentage thing. 3 in 10, right, are only the ones eligible, whereas you go to somebody, it's a great deal higher. I want to tell you a story.
We did have a winner from Quincy. We did have a winner from Quincy last week.
Yeah, trust us. Those of us in Southern Illinois, they're Yankees too. So just so you know. Now, here's the thing, Doc. And I like informal polls. And if I can get somebody's attention, just stand up someplace and yell and I'll get a poll. Hey, I just want yes or no answers. Yes and no only. I don't want to hear your political opinions. Give me a yes or no. I have two questions. 9 males, various age, 30 to 60. Is COVID-19 over? Universally, no. They all screamed it simultaneously. Didn't have to think about it. Do you want me to continue to read the numbers on the air? No. It's not over, but I don't want to hear about it, was my derivative. And so we know, you and I talked about this, gosh, a year ago, pandemic fatigue. It's still out there. Plays a role in what's going on right now. And then you've got the trust issue, which was highlighted by the talk about misinformation last week. But unfortunately, some of the same people who said it's misinformation were also the same people who said they wouldn't take the vaccine. That's and I thought that was in bad taste at the very least. You have a PR battle, but you've been sensitive to this as long as I've known you, Dr. Azike. Have we taken on a new phase, appealing for vaccine and getting vaccination? Yeah, we get that. What's the new PR phase to be able to push your department forward when it comes to getting closer to that 50% mark, which we feel is a great deal more likely to be able to break the back of spread?
You know, I mean, the message can't change because the message is still get vaccinated. You know, it's while you're making the decision to get vaccinated, you know, use your mask, you know, get tested, you know, but, you know, we try to incentivize people. Some people take that one way. Some people take that another. We want doctors to be able to talk to their patients. Maybe it's the right messengers are needed. We're also looking for the right messages. Maybe you care enough about the schools and keeping students safe to say that I'm going to do this for my community, even if I don't think I need it for myself. You know, so we're using every message that there is out there to see what will resonate with whom.
Yeah.
But I really understand that people are tired. I'm tired. I'm completely tired of COVID. And I would love it to be in the rearview mirror. And if we could get there, that would be great. And the way to get there is for more people to do what's best for the entire community, even if they think it's not what they themselves need.
I think that was very well said. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate your time,
as
always.
Pleasure.
I'm wondering what's next.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I know, and I enjoy talking with you, too. You know, and I just wonder what's next. And I don't have a doggone crystal ball. But I can tell you, when I spoke with health professionals last week, I got a lot of responses. Some of them were mad. Some of them were mad that we have returned to this point. We didn't have to. I think one of them actually used the term idiocy, by not getting, right? Somebody in the healthcare field and others, you know, that are just frustrated that we've kind of stalled at this point. And I'm looking for the next shoe to drop, and I'm not sure what it's going to be. You?
I'm not. I think, you know, I think we all just have to be very respectful of one another. We all are coming in with different ideas that help inform our decisions. Of course, you know, someone who has a different decision-making strategy than us, we might think is making the wrong decision. But it's the truth is, I think the facts will bear out what the right decision is. I think focusing on the fact that if you look at the downstate numbers, 100% of the hospital of the deaths that occurred in the month of June, in the entire month of June, every single death that happened due to COVID was in someone who was not fully vaccinated. I think that says it all. You know, if you want to stay on the, you know, on this side and give yourself the best protection, that's your way out. You know, have a few people still gotten COVID after they were vaccinated? Yes, but I always go for the 95% than the 0%. That's the better gamble. If you want a chance at the lottery, that's available. That's another incentive. If you want to make the schools safer, that's another drive. If you want to protect those around you who can't get vaccinated or maybe take medicines that maybe make their vaccine not as durable, again, we have to think beyond ourselves to be able to protect the community as a whole so we can finally put this behind us. But I think we're getting there. There's still 20-some thousand people that get vaccinated every single day. So I know people are making that choice. Some people took a little bit longer to get to that decision, and I respect that. They were, you know, surveying the data, trying to make their own assessment. But let's continue to do the proper research, solicit information from credible sources, use doctors. Doctors didn't spend all that time in school to just lead you astray. Look at what the public health agencies and trusted medical people that you believe in, 95% of doctors have been vaccinated. Our president has been vaccinated. Our previous president was vaccinated. All previous presidents have been vaccinated with this COVID-19 vaccine. So let's take that important step and help our communities and really get over the pandemic fatigue. And we're going to get that by ending the COVID in the first place.
Dr. Ngozi Azike, Director of the Illinois Department of Public Health. Doctor, it's always good to speak with you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom. Talk to you again soon.